Cleaning Nation, welcome to another episode of the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. As always, I want to start the show by telling you that you're amazing. Thank you for sharing the show, for subscribing, rating, reviewing, for all the good reviews on iTunes, the feedback. You guys are amazing. Today, we are chatting with my new best friend from across the pond, Luke Murfitt from Integrity Cleaning. Integrity serves the Southeast London area with commercial cleaning services, specializing in helping moms get back to work. If you want to reach out to Luke and his team, you can hold them at www.integritycleaning.co.uk. Luke, welcome to the show.
Hi, and it's fantastic to be on the show, and it's an honor to speak to you. Thank you.
Fantastic to have you. Although I'm very insecure, so having someone that speaks better than I do on my own show, it's very rude of you. Could you try and dumb down the way that you speak so I don't sound so so much like a rube over here in the United States?
Not a problem, mate.
What a guy. Too nice. All right, before we hit your question, just so you know, Luke and I have been scheming off air, and he's got three questions, and they're all so good. I'm going to endeavor to answer all three of them. So we're going to get to that quick. But before we do, there's no way I can get past this specializing in helping mothers get back to work without a question. What are we talking about there? What does that mean? Because it sounds fascinating.
Awesome. Yeah, let's do it. So we in the UK, everywhere across the world, there are mothers who are doing an amazing job looking after their children, and they deserve to spend time with their children, but they also deserve the opportunity to get back into work. And I recognize that. And I thought, what a great opportunity to get such people of such class, such experience of looking after the children who have probably come from great careers and give them an opportunity to get back into work. I want those sort of people to work for my company. And so what we're going to do is be flexible. They can work within the hours that they need. If the children are sick, we'll be understanding. But also, of course, they can work within the hours of pick up, drop off the children. And let's get them back into work and build them up.
Gosh. So again, I really want to hit the questions, but you said something so important that we almost never talk about on the show, and I don't want people to miss. First and foremost, we always talk about niching on clients. When we're looking for customers, let's get a niche, get a niche, get a niche. And that is absolutely true. One of the things I don't talk about, but I do, and Luke is said it better than I have, he's niching on his prospective employees. All the same reasons that we want a niche for customers. We understand their pain. We know how to serve them better. We can communicate with them in a way that lets them know everybody wants to work there. There's just so many reasons niching on the customer side works. All of those benefits are exactly the same on the client attraction or on the employee attraction side. So just like you said, you've recognized single moms or working moms have a special set of needs that maybe working dads don't have or people that don't have kids have. So your ability to serve them is huge. And that's also something that's going to be attractive to your clients. That could be a unique selling proposition that guess what? Guess who most of your clients are going to be if you do residential? And I know you do commercial, but if you do residential, most of your clients are going to be moms, right? The reason they have someone cleaning is they're too busy. They work and they've got all these kids, maybe pets. They're overwhelmed. Even on the commercial side, I'm going to guess more than 30% of your customers have moms, right? So they're probably going to appreciate what you're trying to do. So we don't have time to get into it, but I just want to tell everyone else that don't hear from Luke, I've got to go out and hire a bunch of single moms or working moms. That's fine if you do that. Here, I'm going to pick a niche. For me, when I have my construction company, I'm in Phoenix, I picked Mexican. Which sounds racist, but it's not. They're from Mexico. That's how we refer to them. Anyway, I picked Mexican laborers because they worked hard. They were honest. They were good people. They sent a lot of their money back home. They're just amazing human beings, super loyal. And they tell everybody, right? When we had, a core group of 5 or 10 of them, they had friends and family, and they were just amazing. So for me, it's not that we wouldn't hire people that weren't Mexican, but we focused on and gave preference to, but when I had, Pedro, who had been working with me for 8 years and was just an amazing human being, and his kid grew up with my kids, when he said, I've got my cousin Beto that's going to do a good job, I knew that their culture wouldn't allow Beto to come in and do a terrible job, or Pedro would kick his butt, all the way home. So the niche isn't important. The fact that you have a niche is important. So I love that you're doing that, Luke. And Cleaning Nation, that is absolutely something I would encourage you to model. All right. That said,
thank you.
Luke's got, I'm sorry to go so quick. Hammered three good questions. Go ahead.
Yeah, just to say, and it is working already. Whenever I say that to clients and they say, you're working with moms, that's fantastic. Already it's broken the ice and they want to talk to me. And the first one back to work with away is my wife because she's going to manage the company.
That's fantastic. And I'm telling you, that's when people are always asking for a unique selling proposition. And the two requirements are it's unique, right? If everyone else is doing it, that doesn't count. And it's got to be of value to your client. And I shouldn't say I promise you, but I'm guessing there aren't other people that focus on. I'm sure they employ them, but that's not their kind of a selling feature or that's exclusively they look for. So I can almost guarantee Luke's company is unique in his area in that regard. And he just told us it's valuable to his customers, even though it sounds like you do commercial, not residential. They get it. They want it. They see value. And yes, these are the types of people I want to employ. We all have and love our moms. So great. All right, let's hit the questions because you've got a lot of them and each one is better than the last. So I'm just going to hit all three. And if you say, yep, that's good, I'm just going to try and knock them down and we'll see if we can get this done. Luke, first and foremost, want to know, what do I do with the first 2 hours of my day? Second, he wanted to know how to incentivize people to do what he wants as opposed to yelling, screaming, bossing, threatening, all that sort of stuff. Especially when you're working with your wife, we don't want to yell, scream, threaten, or do any of those things. She'll knock you back if she's smart. And then finally, when to hire someone. Luke had mentioned, hey, I've got some skills. I'm not super organized. When would I hire someone that's maybe even more organized with me to kind of help with some of the chaos? Is that a good summary of the questions or did I butcher any of them?
That is perfect.
Perfect. Well, I'm going to hit each one. I'll ask you if you got any feedback or follow-up questions after, and then we'll just get going. So off air, I told Luke, I love the question of what do I do with the first 2 hours of my day? Not because what I do is super fascinating, but it shows where his interests are. And I told him the fact that you're interested in, hey, I look at people that are have gotten the results that I want, and I try and do the things that I do, and I get that the way they spend their time. You know, I've told you, I can know someone that you've known for 10 years. I can meet him one day. If you give me an hour with their calendar and show me exactly what they do every minute of the day and their checkbook, you show me where they spend all their money, I'll know them better than you do, even if you've known them for a decade and we just met. So that's a great question for Luke to go, how do you spend your time? You do a lot of talking, Mike, but when you actually build businesses, what does that look like? So Cleaning Nation, I'm going to answer the question. But again, just like Luke's thing with the moms isn't go hire moms, although you can do that. It's this is how successful people think, right? That's really good. You know, let's go niche. And that's how I want to think about hiring. Same thing with this. I'm going to share how I spend my day. That doesn't mean you want to duplicate it, but you want to kind of think, why would Mike do that? What is he prioritizing and what would that look like in my life? So I'm going to actually give two answers because I want to play fair. One answer is what I do now. And the other answer is what I did when I was starting a company, because they're very different. What I do now is not something I would encourage you to duplicate because I'm maybe at a different stage than where you guys are at. And then what I did when I was starting a company, if you're starting a company, might be more apropos. So now I've got two ways to start my day. One is to work out 3 times a week. We wake up, my wife and I go together because she is the sweetest person in the whole world, and go work out 3 or 4 days a week. Nah, that's not true. 2 or 3 days a week. We shoot for three. And then that usually takes 2 hours to go to the gym, work out, come back, have breakfast. I have breakfast of 3 eggs and coffee. Go to the gym and then come back and get to work. If I don't do that, I would just get to work. I always start my day with a loose plan of what I want to get done for the day. And I always end the day with, did I get that done and what got carried over? Just kind of a quick review. Did I like that? Did I not like that? How do I feel effectively? Yada, yada, yada. When I was starting my company, actually, now that I think about it, it probably was the same. It's just now if I don't get to work to 9 or 10 o'clock, that's totally fine. When I started my company, that was not fine. I would be a lot more focused. So, and then also oftentimes I'll wake up a half hour early. I happen to be a Christian. I'll spend some time reading the Bible, praying, doing my best. I'm not as good at that as I should be, but that's almost always the plan. Whether I execute or not is dependent on my weak flesh. So that said, that's usually what would start.
Did you say you're a Christian?
I did say I'm a Christian.
Fantastic. You just went off in my estimation. Carry on.
Oh, good. I don't know if you're going to hang up on me or resonate, but either way, that's where I'm at.
100%. Me too.
Yeah. Well, you ask me what I do. I want to do the best I can to tell you the truth. Okay. So that's kind of the personal side. And then on the business side, if I was just starting, let me just pretend I was starting a cleaning company, because for me, it's a lot of meetings and podcasts and planning, which I don't want to share it with you. It may be boring and out of use. So if I was starting a cleaning company, my day would still start with a workout. I just have to start at 6 o'clock as opposed to 8 a.m. because I've got a business I got to get started. I try to do all of my emails and stuff like that at the end of the day. I don't like to start with it. For me, and this is, again, look at how I'm thinking, not what I'm doing. I try to identify what my best time is mentally. And I'm super addicted to caffeine, which is terrible. So if I have coffee in the morning, I try and have an hour or two of focus on the business work right then when my mind is at its sharpest, because I know in the afternoon it's fuzzy. So I'll try and do things like calling people back, returning emails, having meetings that don't require 100% of my attention, even sales calls, I hate to say it, I'll do all in the afternoon. So I'd like to usually I'll start with, again, working out, a good breakfast, coffee, and then 1 or 2 hours of, actually quiet time in the Word, which is personal, but that's how I start. And then if I can get 2 hours, great. If not, at least 1 hour of focused on the work business. This is creating systems, This is just trying to do things that are going to make money forever as opposed to just today. So that was a long answer for a short question. Did it answer your question or did I miss it?
It did. So can I just understand, I mean, cleaning company, do you not phone, did you not phone your staff or your, you know, did you speak to clients or?
Well, I had now we're going back 20 years. So I had a commercial cleaning company. So all of my staff were done. They were already done, right? They start at 5 o'clock and be done, you know, hopefully before midnight. So when I started, I didn't start worrying about staff until the afternoon, right? Like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, because that they'd start
right
around 4:35. So that's not to say that you wouldn't, but again, the focus I try to do is for me. And again, if some of you're like, 3 o'clock in the afternoon is when I hit my stride, and I don't go to bed till midnight, and that's really my power time, then you would adjust it. For me, it's right when I wake up after I've had my coffee. That's when I'm most focused and I'm able to do the most difficult work mentally. So if I've got a funnel I'm trying to build or a system I'm trying to create, something that just requires creativity and focus, I want to do it in the morning. Does it? And even if I had staff in the morning, I'd still say, staff, you guys got to work around me, because typically I'm the one that brings the most, I wouldn't say this to them, but I'm the one that brings the most value to the company. So if this is when I'm going to bring the most value from 8 to 10, then from 8 to 10, that's what I'm going to do. In the Clean Profit Method, which I think you mentioned you were either a member or about to be a member, we talk about boxing
time. I am a member.
Oh, perfect. So you're right in step one. You can go get more on this on boxing time, which is the one thing I don't do, and this is huge, and again, we're talking about how to think, not what to do, is I don't do two things at once or pretend I can do two things at once. So if I'm working on my business, my phone is off, my favorite button, my favorite feature, app, whatever you want to call it on my phone, is airplane mode. I can shut it off and nobody can get a hold of me. I like going to a coffee shop where nobody knows me. I don't go to the office. Even when I had an office with lots of employees, either I have to be a big time jerk, be like, nobody talk to me, I'm too important for you people, which I don't like doing, or I have to constantly get interrupted, which means I can't get anything done. So literally, even with if I've got a 10,000 square foot office with a bunch of employees, I'm at the Starbucks down the road working where nobody knows me, so nobody's going to interrupt me. That way I don't have to be a, you know, big time my employees, but I'm not going to get interrupted. Gosh, bless it. You'd asked me something and I got off on a tangent and I forgot what your
it was just at what point do you deal with your staff and so forth, but I think you pretty much touched on that.
Yeah, I have them work around my schedule. But the good thing, so the boxing time, we talk about that. So I might have an hour where I'm open, right? I'm going to call back everybody that I need to call back. If you have if you're staff, employees, customers, vendors, anybody, and I'll tell them, hey, these are my times, you know, from 9:30 to 11, I'm going to do all my, or 9:30 to 10:30 and do all callbacks, and maybe I'll do it at the end of the day before I leave, 3:30 to 4. So they just know if they text me, call me, email me, and I don't know if you've got staff like me, they'll call you once, you ignore it, they'll call you 17 more times, and you pick up, oh my God, it's an emergency, you've called me 17, what is it? It's never emergency. I train them, these are the times I'm going to call back or respond to you. The first couple of days I always test and try and get you to interact with them outside of those time boxes. But once you do it for a week, they just know, oh, well, Mike will only call me or talk to me these hours. And magically, 2/3 of the things that they needed your immediate attention on, when you make them wait until your box, they figure that out on their own. And 9 times out of 10, they do as good a job or better than you would. And that allows you to really step back from the business. So it's really key that your employees learn to work around your schedule and your rhythms, and that they're able to interact with you at specific times. That'll eliminate midnight calls or text or I can't do this, or all the drama goes away because they know that you're only going to interact with them in these very specific time boxes.
That's fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah. And then they don't feel boxed out either, right? Where they can't. So I've got, and when I'm dealing with employees, I'm like, I got to be working. I, you know, hurry up and tell me your problem, Luke. I can't deal with you right now. I got crap going on. I know for this hour, all I want to do is deal with Luke's problem and I can focus on you. So it makes me more comfortable and the employees like it. All right. Next question. I had my list. Let's go. There it is. How to incentivize over boss around. I'm going to hit this really quickly, not because it's not important, but because I'm so excited to talk about the third one. The big key is, again, let's talk about how we think, not what we do. This is a good question because it
hits on exactly the truth of management. People will always do what you pay them to do, period. So incentivization is by far the most compelling. There's two pieces to it. It's very, very compelling. The way you can get kicked in the butt is you don't think through the incentivization. So just like taxes, you know, the government's always doing, well, if you buy a house, we'll give you interest, you know, deduction. And then people buy 27 houses and like, oh, I actually made $1 million this year and took a loss, so I have no tax liability. The government's like, dang it, didn't think that through. So then, and I'm making this up, I don't know what the tax law is, but then they'll go, fine, you only have that deduction up to this. And what constantly is happening, the government's trying to make tax deductions to make it fair for people, but still collect enough revenue. people automatically modify their behaviors to do exactly not what the government wants or what they meant for the people to do, but exactly what benefits them the most. So it's just kind of this cat and mouse game of we get to make the rules and then the government gets to make the rules and the people are like, okay, how can we not bend those rules, but how can we work within those rules to make our lives best? Employees do the exact same thing. So if you say something like, you get paid per job, right? It doesn't matter if it takes you 7 hours or 2 minutes, you get paid a flat $50. I guarantee you all of your times will go down by at least 10, maybe 30% in terms of cleaning. But oftentimes the quality will go down because you didn't say anything about quality. You're not paying for quality. So now you got to tie the pay not only to the quality, but to the, or not only to the time that they spend, but the quality. And then they might do the time and the quality, but they're rude to the customers and the customers are angry. So now you have to go, all right, I'm going to pay tie pay to not only the quality and the time that it takes, but also happy customers. So just understand incentivization or pay is a very sharp sword. You can do lots of damage with it and you can do lots of good with it, but you have to be very intentional about how you use it. So just think through the unintended consequence of any pay that you do. So if you're like, hey, how do I motivate people with pay? The answer is just change their pay. Whatever you change their pay to do, that's exactly what they'll do immediately without any additional training. It's the easiest thing in the world. The only kind of gotcha you got to look out for is they will do exactly what you tell them, what you pay them to do, not what you wanted them to do. So a lot of times I did a pay plan. I'm like, if you guys do this, I'll pay you this. And they did the thing that I wanted, but then there was this unintended consequence I hadn't thought through, which was less pleasant.
All right, so that was a very fine rant. I'm going to step off my soapbox. Luke, did that answer your question? Are we good to move on to number three?
I am lost for words. Thank you.
All right, I can't do that. I got to tell Cleaning Nation, I got to let you in on some inside baseball. As much as we love this and we try to keep the quality as good as possible, Luke refused to buy a first-class ticket from England down here to Phoenix and do this in person, and I'm way too cheap to go all, and lazy to go all the way out there. So we're doing this over over Skype, you know, over the phone, and we lost connection. And I just – so he asked me the question. Apparently, we lost connection. I'm too dumb to know what's going on, so I just rant on like a crazy person, and then – I'm like, so how's that do, Luke? And he was very rude and he wouldn't respond. And apparently that was because he had been gone for like 4 minutes. So he didn't hear any of that answer. So we were going to pretend. And I'm like, I can't do this. So just so you know, Cleaning Nation, Luke is hearing this at the exact same time you are. And if he has any follow-up questions, he's going to have to email me because he doesn't know what I just said. So hopefully that was interesting and didn't bore the pants off of you. Either way, we're going to move on to the third question Luke's got. He gets a bonus question because I was so rudely hung up on him. Last question he had was, when is it time to hire someone that maybe is more organized? He said he's got lots of strengths, obviously. Being organized isn't one. He's thinking maybe if I hire someone more organized, we can be a better team. Am I putting words in your mouth or am I understanding what you're looking for?
No, that's great. And when can I do that? Because obviously, top line, bottom line, we've got to make sure we profit.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. So there's kind of two levels of that. First and foremost, the organization thing is important. And I'm a big fan of I don't need to be the best at everything. So, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong. This is just how I've done it and I've had success. I don't focus on strengthening my weaknesses. I focus on strengthening and living in my strengths. So there's certain things I'm really good at, and I want to do those all day long. There's certain things I'm not very good at, and I don't want to do those at all or to the very least of my ability. So if, Luke, you feel like you're not organized or that's not something you do, or for me, it's not that I don't feel like I'm organized. I'm not good at detail-oriented work. I like big picture stuff, broad strokes, not getting down to the nitty-gritty and the fine points of things. So there is a minimal amount that I have to play in that world, but I don't try and get better at it. I try and just get to be a C or D student and do the bare minimum and then spend all my time where I'm an A plus student and I'm really good at it. So when it comes to organization, there is a minimum amount that you need to be able to organize, but that's not where I spend all of my time. So for me, I've always felt, and this I've done this where, especially if you're a fast growth company, you just hire and hire and hire and hire. And what happens is we think we've got so much work. It's more than the two of us or one of us, you know, whatever your situation can do. We need to hire somebody. But the problem is the work that we did wasn't organized. So when we hire someone, it just intensifies or magnifies the chaos. So the minimum standard of organization that you're going to want to have for hiring someone is a quality, clear job description. Because what happens is you hire someone, you're like, we're all just working. You're our first employee. So if there's you and your wife, there's just three of us, or your third or fourth or fifth employee, grab an oar and start rowing. And for the first like 5 or 10 employees, that actually can work okay because you're all working together. You get to see them every day, especially if you've built some good core values, you've got a good culture, everyone's having fun, everyone's working hard, everyone sees the vision, it's fine. When you get to 20 and 30 employees, it'll kill you, or you won't get to 20 or 30 employees because it's just very difficult. So the one thing that you want to do is just have a very good job description, which is, and if you go to the Michael Gerber's E-Myth, he talks about how to do this with writing an org chart and making sure that each of those org charts has a name in it. And for like, if it was just you and not your wife, your name would be in all the org charts. So it'd be CEO at the top, and there'd be Luke. And then below that would be three people. There'd be the CFO, you know, guy in charge of accounting. Well, hey, guess what? That's Luke. And below, you know, next to him would be sales and marketing manager. Well, that's Luke. And then next to that would be operations. Well, that's Luke too. And then below the operations manager might be cleaners, and below the sales and marketing guy might be, you know, whatever. And Luke's going to be in all of those. But the key is you think through all the tasks that need to be done, and you kind of have a little job description under each of those boxes, right? The CEO's job to make sure we staff and have systems and look towards the future. The sales and marketing guy, all he's looking to do is attract qualified leads and then convert them into sales. The accounting guy is just making sure no one's stealing from the company and we're healthy and all that sort of stuff. So we want a job description for each, and then slowly we start hiring people and putting them in those boxes. So the minimum amount of organization you need is a good job description that doesn't, we don't get scope creep, right? Because what will happen, especially if you've got a good culture, you'll hire people that are super committed, they love it. You hire them to do A, B, and C, and then 3 months in, either they suck and you fired them, or they're fantastic, so you keep giving them more. Now they're doing A, B, C, D, H, I, they're doing everything, and then they can get burnt out and frustrated because we've kind of just tacked on more stuff. When you have a clear job description, it avoids that. So to answer your question, the first thing you need in terms of organization is a job description. Now, the second piece of your question is, great, I don't have any money, or I have a limited amount of money. Can I hire a guy or gal now? Do I have to wait 6 months? What revenue? Yada, yada, yada. Again, I'm going to go philosophy as opposed to do this exact thing. And I'm not saying everyone should do this, but what worked for me is if I found talent, I would always hire them whether I needed them not or not, as long as I had the money, right? Obviously, if I can't pay them, I can't pay them. So if you don't have the money, or you're not to the place where, again, your financial situation we don't have to get into, but if you don't have the money, whether it's personally or professionally, then it's off the table, right? If you don't have the money, you don't have the money. You can't pay in hugs. You got to pay in over there, pounds, I'm assuming. So that's that. If you don't have the money, you have the money. My philosophy has always been I hire when I get talent. So if there's a super fantastic person and I don't really need a salesperson, a finance manager, a project manager, whatever it is. I mean, obviously I have that position in my company, but I'm quote unquote fully staffed and a rock star comes my way. I'm hiring the rock star every time, all the time. When we start, we think we're competing for customers, and then the bigger we grow, we realize we're competing for talent. So when a rock star talent walks by my door, I take it. Same with a customer, right? When I had a construction company, even if I felt like it was going to put us a little over capacity, but there's a rock star customer and a job I wanted, I took it and figured it out. So on the front side, from organization, you must have a job description, period. You don't have to be the most organized guy in the world, but that's the minimum standard. So don't spend a ton of time there, but do make job descriptions before you hire. On the window I do it, it's as soon as you A, have money, and B, find rock star talent, because I hated the warm body syndrome where, oh my gosh, I desperately need somebody. You're adequate to not that great, but you're here and you say you'll start tomorrow. You're hired. One of the ways I inoculated myself against that was always hiring in advance, always looking for talent, right? And if I got a bunch of talent all at once when I quote unquote didn't need it, I hired them. And because they're talented, they found a way to make my company money. Did that answer your question? Now that you haven't hung up on me or vice versa, and actually got to hear the answer, did that answer your question?
That was a sterling answer. Thank you.
Sterling. See, this is why I like the overseas folks. All you dirty Americans would never say I gave a sterling answer. You just grunt at me. That's fantastic. All right.
No, it was cracking. Thanks, cracking.
Oh, cracking and sterling. I got to write these down and start stealing them, using them for myself so I sound classy like you English folks. All right. We're going to skip the lightning round because we're way, 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 way over on time. Not that Luke doesn't have amazing answers. I'll make you a deal, Luke. If you will email me the answers to the best piece of advice you've ever had, biggest mistake you made in the cleaning business, and one idea cleaning nation, put it on records right away, I will put it on the show notes page so all of you Luke fans, as am I, can go to growmycleaningcompany.com, find his show notes page, and get that information. Luke, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your story, your passion, your amazing accent. I appreciate you. I know the Cleaning Nation appreciates you and the questions that you ask. Cleaning Nation, do check out Luke's show notes page, growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out right now. I'll see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.